Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough. Here we are back where we were before. Seems nothing ever changes. We're back to being strangers, wondering if we ought to stay or head on out the door. Just once, can we figure out?
Brothers and sisters, this is Sister Nicole with Southern Crescent Report here to let you know that we are planning a live 2-hour show for Thursday. So until then, please enjoy this replay that will be pertinent to the show on Thursday. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You are now tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You are tuned into the voice of an entire nation. We say welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black liberation, black edification, and black enlightenment. This is the Star and Crescent Report. Our show today is titled, A Quick Trip Down the Rabbit Hole of Global Debt. Now, before we go, I also like to say the intro, as always, that song right there was picked out by my little brother, Brother Amir. He often would send me some stuff, and he would say, listen, brother, would you play this? Would you do that? So I want everyone to know that Just Once was recommended by our good brother Amir. Now, this show today, A Quick Trip Down the Rabbit Hole of Global Debt. If you are a listener to the show, a constant listener to the show, and if you had a chance to check out Thursday's show, because Wednesday's show was blocked. We had a special show planned for Wednesday, and it was blocked by Blog Talk Radio. So what we did, instead of doing this show Thursday, we tried to replay what we was going to play Wednesday for Thursday. And if you got a chance, you heard Chris Hedges, this devil, talking about what he sees taking place in America and what he sees as America's own undoing, and what he sees and what he thinks that is going to transpire with the American Republic, the American Empire. And all that he could say, all that he can point to, was bad news. Why? I'm asking a question to the people. Why are all of the scholars, all of the pundits, all of the economic forecasters and scientists of America and of the world are all pointing toward a global meltdown, with America being at the heart of this global meltdown? And why is it all happening in the 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period that Elijah Muhammad said that God had put out there for America and the white world at large? Huh? I'm asking you these things because we have to understand time. And if we're not aware of the time, we can put ourselves in harm's way, right? This is a time unlike any other time before. What is time? Time is motion. We can calculate time when we put something in motion. We can see how long it takes it to move from point A to point B. Is that not right? And if this is the case, we can come to a good conclusion of the time. So if Messenger Elijah Muhammad, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, told us about a judgment, an impending judgment that was upon America's back, and he gives us a time frame to do a mathematical calculation. And today we're looking at it and we say, all that Elijah Muhammad said that would befall America has befallen America, and it's steadily befallen America. Is that not right? and it is happening in a time frame specified by the last and the greatest of the messengers of God. This adds credit and weight to the words that he speaks. You understand? See, most people, they don't give you this. They don't show you these things. They don't show you how mathematics and science and theology and religion and philosophy and all of this stuff applies to time. But Elijah Muhammad gives it to you that you may understand where we are in time. Okay? So, Mr. Hedges, he comes up with an estimate. He does not see America lasting 27 more years. Well, let's see. He says 27 more years from, I think, the year 2003, I believe that's what he said. So he was giving it to 2030. Excuse me. And that was wishful thinking. But he pointed to all of the things that was happening and that all of the other scientists say that they believe that it's going to bring America down before 2025. So we have a time frame here, right, to look at. And now, when you look at the position of America, you know she's in trouble, right? But she often points to China. China is in a debt bubble, where she may be. China has hidden debt. Yeah, she may have. China is in trouble because she has these money, these black budget accounts. What sort of America? But why are they putting it on China? Because this is what a person does when they do a crime. They often, as a magician does, that sleight of hand, they want you to focus on something else so that you don't see them doing the robbing, the stealing, the lying, the killing. You understand? So let's just give America a little credit for a second. Let's just say China has trillions of dollars in debt and a bubble that she's pushing to the side. Let's just use common sense for a minute and let's just accept America's thesis on this matter. Okay? China has $3 trillion in debt, including housing, including the bonds, including the money markets, all of that. China has about $3 trillion, according to some of these scholars. Okay? She has $4.5 trillion in reserves, right? America is in debt to her. Now, before my house gets repossessed, if you are in debt to me, I'm going to call my debt up, and I'm going to cause you to go down before I go down because I have a family also. Is that not right? That is what we say in nature. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. So America is trillions of dollars in debt to China. So even if China does have a bond market or a money market or a real estate bubble and it pops, she can call her debt on America. And to make sure that things are covered, China and Russia have been buying up gold constantly, mining gold constantly, and all of the BRIC nations. I want you to understand. This is why America is after the BRIC nations and their associates. This has everything to do with prophecy, religion, and geopolitics. Because the BRIC nations are not only the greatest buyers of gold and silver in the world, but a few of them are the largest miners and suppliers in the world. Zimbabwe being one of the great, she's not a BRIC nation, but she is a huge player in the diamond, the gold, the silver, and all of those precious metals. That's why they had to get Mugabe out of there, right? But South Africa is one of the top three or top four gold, silver, and diamond miners in the world. You understand me? Russia is one of the top, I think now, Russia is the top miner of gold now in the world. China is now mining gold in its own and never sells anything. Why is this? Because they are seeing something down the road to offset the decline of the dollar, to offset American white male of the nation, not black male. They're white male in the nation. So what they're doing, they're getting the gold and the silver and all of the precious metals and storing them. That's why America had to get rid of Mugabe. Because they wanted to follow the plan. That's why they got rid of Kirchner of Argentina, because she was following the script of the BRICS. And this is why, even though I would say Zuma is not uncorruptible, and this is why they have not given up on overthrowing Zuma in South Africa, because he is a deep player. fire in the bricks. You understand? We're looking at a quick trip down the rabbit hole of global debt. The empire and its associates are desperate. They're desperate because they see the system moving from the west to the east. And the empire has been exposed and the emperor no longer has any clothes. I want you to listen closely to something. Okay? We're going to listen to a few clips. But I want you to listen closely to what is actually going on and just how bad it is getting for America. All right? I'm going to play this clip. This is about a six-minute clip. Then after we come back, we're going to discuss it, and then we're going to add something else to it. Pay close attention to this, please. All praise is due to
Allah. A very stunning development is taking place, and it's going on. And we had previously discussed in the last episode about the consumer, about the citizen in the United States. And one thing that is going on that is very disturbing, when once the United States was filled with a very vibrant middle class, now we've watched that steadily decay. In fact, the middle class actually became a minority for the first time ever in the population in 2015. So this was not at the peak of an economic recovery, as they would like you to believe, but in fact it was at peak separation between those that have and those that do not. We also know that about 78% of the full-time workers in the United States live paycheck to paycheck, and that is full-time workers. According to the Federal Reserve, though, the average U.S. household is now $137,063 in debt. That figure is more than double what the median household income is in the United States. The U.S. Census Bureau reports that the median household income was just $59,039. So we see that this idea of consumption, this lifestyle of consumption, is going far beyond our means. And what does that mean? That means we're lying to ourselves, that we no longer can afford the goods that are going into our pockets, into our mouths, into our homes. As a nation, we're completely and utterly drowning in debt. That's what that means. U.S. consumers, they're now nearly $13 trillion in debt overall. That almost rivals what the government is doing with their spending. Most of the people in your country are literally going to spend the rest of their lives making debt payments, and most likely hand them down to their children. The cost of living has grown so fast in comparison to paychecks, so fast in comparison to whatever we are making as far as wages go. But this puts a tremendous amount of financial stress going on the working families. This is why they particularly go after people that are going for four-year degrees, two-year degrees, anybody who's going to college, anybody they see that is going to be able to be making money. And we see that the student loan debt has ballooned into this massive bubble. The price of college tuition has ballooned. Why is that? It all took place, you can almost pinpoint it exactly to 2009. That's when this student loan bubble began, and they began to inflate the price of college tuitions. They began, and really, this economic stress that they saw was affecting the rest of the population. They knew that it will cause more people to be uncomfortable about a life of poverty and despair, and it will drive more people to need and seek higher education. So therefore, they raised the price of higher education. They pumped it up so high that it's unattainable, that no more do parents have a college fund set aside for their children. No more do they have savings set aside, but people need to take out these immense loans. Anybody who's going to be productive in the society must be put into massive amounts of debt because, frankly, the banks run the show. And because banks run the show, they actually make their money not by smart investment, not by smooth thinking, not by insider trading, but by debt. That is exactly how they work, pushing out loans, whether they can pay, whether they can't pay. Also, medical expenses. They've also grown 57% since 2003. So when we have these heads out there talking about how great the healthcare system is now and why would we ever want to change it, medical expenses have still grown 57%. And at the same time, insurance premiums are still going up. Food and housing costs have climbed 36% since back in 2003. Those basic expenses that are necessary are causing this massive gap that is being created in the United States between the haves and the have-nots. Nearly one quarter of Americans are making less than $10 an hour right now. The cost of living, it continues to rise so much, and what we're seeing is these young people. And it's sad because they're the ones that have been robbed from the true American dream, because they're discovering the only way that they're able to survive is to live at home with their parents. The percentage of adults from age 26 to 34 that live at home, it continues to rise. It continues to rise. It's not improving, so we're not seeing improving real-world economic conditions. The share of older millennials living with relatives, it's still rising, underscoring only a decade ago, it was 17% lower. This is staggering. 59.8% of millennials, 18 to 25, are now living with relatives. That's an all-time record right now. We must ask, you know, that's right now. What does the future hold for us? Is this really able to be repaired? No, it's really not just the consumers either, because this is really how the banks make their money. We've seen the corporate debt has doubled since the financial crisis. It's at a record high of $8.7 trillion. And so whenever we go out and we look at these record stock market prices as a result of stock buybacks, we wonder why. And it's struggling corporations, and that's the saddest part. They're struggling. They really are struggling so much that they need to put on a facade that they're successful, that they need to spend enormous amount of money and take out enormous amounts of debt just to be able to pretend to the American people that they're successful enough that somebody might be able to willing to loan them more money or to buy a share of their company. We also have had these low interest rates. Debt of non-financial companies has increased massively. That's more than 45% of the GDP in the United States that is going on. According to the Federal Reserve, non-financial corporate debt outstanding, it's grown by $1 trillion in only 2 years. And that's what they keep telling you. Everything is great. The economy is looking strong. Strong job numbers. Really, we've got to get honest here because there's not much time left. All right, thank you.
He says there's not much time left. He sees the end of the system. He talks about the predatory lending practices and how America is eating away at her own core constituency by making the future leaders subject to outstanding debt that they will never be able to pay off. See, Elijah Muhammad talked about these things, and he warned America. As a matter of fact, fallen America. Here we go. Let me go to it. Let's go to page 92, okay? Elijah Muhammad is telling you these things, and America does not seem to get it, see, because a blind has been put over her head, and because she's so greedy, she's so arrogant, she's so greedy for power, she's so arrogant and full of imperial hubris that she's drunk. Then the Bible says that God would feed America her blood, her own blood, like sweet wine. So she's drunk and she's killing herself thinking that she is getting over, thinking that she can transition her wealth to another system. This won't happen. You know, we go to fall of America, but first let us understand something. We have to understand what the word debt means, okay? The word debt, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means something owed, an obligation, unable to pay off his or her debts, a state of being under obligation to pay or repay someone or something in return for something they received. Now, this is what is burdening the backs of the people. You know, in America, you can't get rid of child support debt, which is a fictitious debt as it is. We can discuss that in another segment. And you can't get rid of student loan debt, even if you file bankruptcy. These two hang over your head forever. You understand? So that is a debt. Now let us listen to what he said. He said about how they're focusing in on the students to saddle them with debt so that they can make off like bandits. According to Google and according to debt.org, this is called predatory lending. And predatory lending is a lending practice that imposes unfair or abusive loan terms on a borrower. It is also any practice that convinces a borrower to accept unfair terms through deceptive, coercive, exploitative, or unscrupulous actions for a loan that a borrower doesn't need, doesn't want, or can't afford. This is the bulk of America's system. So when you put a debt on your future leaders, 92. Muhammad says it in a chapter called Destruction of America's Education. He says, the plague of Allah. So this is a plague, black man and black woman. So this is one of the judgments that Allah puts upon the back of America, and she doesn't recognize that her greed is helping to fuel the fire that is burning down the American empire. You understand? See, when we look at these things, we have to examine what is being said, how it's being said, how it's being presented to us, so that we can understand the meanings of what is right before us. So the word plague means a disastrous evil or affliction, a calamity. And what will make thee comprehend what the calamity is? Is that not right? So, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the plague is also a calamity, which the Quran says that would hit America, what Elijah Muhammad says that would come upon America. The calamity, right? We have a whole chapter on that. Is that not right? So Muhammad says, the plague or the calamity of Allah against the educational system of America is something that the philosophers and scientists should look into, as the destruction of America's education is the destruction of their wisdom to educate the people. There are many people who look on the destruction without taking a second thought of the destruction of America's education. Now, a lot of you, when you look at this stuff, you don't take a second thought. You don't see how it connects. They talk to you, but they talk over you. And you don't understand, you don't analyze, you don't process what is the information that is being given to you, because you've become a lazy people and you don't go look into things. So you take them for face value. And then by you doing that, you place you, your loved ones, and your friends in harm's way. So Muhammad says, there are many who look on the destruction without taking a second thought of the destruction of America's education. Education is a guide for the people to keep and maintain a civilized life. It is education that civilizes us. Now to see the citizens of America rebelling against the American educational system is something that the wise of the wise should take thought of. Stop right there. So you have students protesting all across America of the debt burden. Some are going into school, coming out with $40,000. $60,000, $80,000, $100,000, $200,000 and $300,000 worth of debt, and some of them are doctors and lawyers and can't get a job, and some of them are finding themselves stripping and in the prostitution rings trying to get the debt off. This is America's future. But this is a plague or a calamity upon the great empire. You understand? So Muhammad goes further and says, the American people actually have come to the point where they hate their own educational system. This means that they are now hating and destroying their civilization, because it is education that civilizes people. You understand? So these protests against the system, these protests against the debt, they're showing that the people are rising up, but it is also showing that there's a great divide in America that is bringing America down to her knees. The greed of the haves and the plague of wanting to have something of the have-nots. This leads us daily to revolution, to war. Do you understand this, brothers? I want you to understand what's going on. And brothers and sisters, if you hear something in the background, I have my son with the TV. I'm trying to catch news while I'm talking to you. We have it low in the background, so it may be a commercial to come on here and there, so you may hear some. But I'm trying to catch the latest news, and I also have the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 screens up, two computers going. Okay, brothers and sisters, I have to try to catch this as I'm talking to you, so that you can be well informed, black man and black woman. But I want you to also listen to this right here. So this is Elijah Muhammad talking. We're still in destruction of America's education. So you flip over to 97, page 97, okay? Hurry up, come on, follow with me. So Muhammad says, the destruction of America's educational system is the best thing, not one of the good things, not one, but the best thing, he says. So he gives us an understanding of what we should look for here. He says that the destruction of America's educational system is the best thing that Allah could do to get rid of that which you depend on for guidance. See, you think, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to be a doctor. 20 years from now, I'm going to have this practice. And system is imploding, and what he's trying to show you through the plagues or the calamities which are rocking America's educational system is that when this falls, there will be no republic, there will be no America, there will be no empire. You understand? We're at the point of separation. You understand? This is right here. Fall of America, what I'm trying to do is show you that Elijah Muhammad talked about this stuff long before you read it in the news or that you heard it in the economic markets. Elijah Muhammad is showing you how all of this, how this debt burden is related to the implosion of the American Republic and the liberation of the black man and woman here in America and then around the globe. So he says, the destruction of America's educational system is the best thing that Allah could do to get rid of that which you depend on for guidance. America's educational system has never benefited you and me, only to keep us slaves to the white man. So we are looking God removing an entire system, and if you don't have education, you're not civilized. And if you're not civilized, you become a savage nation. And if America is not the epitome of a savage nation, just look in Chicago, look around the country, how it is devolving every hour of the day with violence, no respect of people's lives, people's property, or the sanctity of life. You understand? Elijah Muhammad is right on the point with this. And you don't understand it. But we're going to make it clear to you today. And you're not going to get away with this. Okay? So, what we're doing, we're taking you on a quick trip down the rabbit hole of global debt. And according to Google, the definition of down the rabbit hole means a metaphor for an entry into the unknown, the disorienting, or the mentally deranging. Now, we're going to look at how mentally deranged America is, how disoriented her politicians are, and how they are fearful that America's heading down something that they don't know how to stop. We're in a time that this is the fall of America. You should be smiling, because if America doesn't fall, you don't get free. If America doesn't fall, there will be no peace for the world. If America doesn't fall, then that means that she's all-powerful and that God is weak in his power, and this is not the case. So you should be in glory. You should be in joy. You should be happy to see and hear all of these things that you now see, even though they may affect you a little bit. You got to get, for you to advance, you have to go through stages of difficulty. So gird your loins this day, because it's going to be a hell of a ride. Brothers and sisters, I want you to listen to this next clip here, all right? About this debt cycle. This is only 2 minutes. Pay close attention. This is your boy Dave talking. But, you know, they do their best to try to defend Trump, boy, I tell you. But anyway, this debt cycle is gobbling up the entire world. And this is why we tell you that no matter where you go, you're going to be affected by this. You understand? The only safety zone that you can get into is under the bosom of your Lord. Because every square inch of the earth is going to be affected by the transformation or the changing of the world, which will entail war, poverty, global famine, and massive loss of life. You understand? Because now we're in a time of that the earth is purging itself. I hope you're understanding where we are right now, okay? I want you to listen closely to this clip. Here, and I hope that Blog Talk will allow me to play it without any interference. So pay close attention to this.
Starting to see cracks all over the economy. And of course, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it seem like everything is still fine in the economy. And we're starting to see this in Canada, the United States, throughout Europe. And they're going to keep this continually ongoing until a certain point where all of a sudden they start saying, well, because of what Trump is doing or because of this or that, this is why the economy is failing. And then eventually they'll have an event to really bring it home. But what we're seeing is that most of what they've been telling us, I'd say 99.999%, has been a complete and utter lie, where they've tricked us into thinking that the economy is doing well. And they continually do this. They continually lie to the people to convince us that things are fine. Now, out in Canada, we're starting to see that home values, well, they're starting to decline. And this is the first time since the first quarter of 2009. Now, remember, all of this was pumped up to make us believe that everything is fantastic. And all I did was create incredible, gigantic bubbles. And every time they do this, they pop. We see household debt in Canada rose to a new record of about $2.11 trillion in the third quarter of 2017. This is up by 5.2% from a year ago and up 10.7% from 2 years ago. This is coming from Statistics Canada. And most of the debt is coming from mortgages, which is about 65.6% of the total debt right now. And the rest is coming from credit cards, auto loans, and things like that. And we can see right now that Canada's infamous household debt to disposable income ratio, one of the highest in the world, rose to a breathtaking record of 173.3%. Now, the ratio means that households, on average, owe $173 for every dollar after tax income earned. And we can see right now, this is not just happening in Canada, it's happening in the United States, it's happening out in Australia, in Europe, and it's varying from country to country.
So, you notice he named the Western nation of how, why is he naming the Western nations first? Because that is where the corruption, the greed, and the predatory lending start. And now it's feasting upon themselves. And the two that he named first was Canada and America, because he sees something on the North American continent that they cannot run from. Muhammad says, according to the fall of America in a chapter titled The Dreadful Times of America, listen to Muhammad writes, America, and especially North America, has entered into the time that was predicted by Moses and the prophets between him and Jesus. He is telling you that the North American continent is now headlong into the judgment that God has deemed them worthy of. They are being judged, and all of the evil and the corruption and the greed is now spewing in back into their own system, and we're looking at collapse. We're looking at collapse. You are hearing these things, and yet you don't want to process these things. You don't want to accept these things because it may be a little unpalatable to you, because you are caught up in this world. But let me tell you this, soon this world won't exist because this world has been caught up into the judgment. So we're trying to give you a clear understanding of what to see, what is going on, and how to process this stuff. Without any addition, without any subtraction, we want you to hear the whole thing, see the whole thing, look at all the dots so you can get a clear picture of the time and what must be done in this time. Because America won't be able to help you. She's putting on a brave face, but she's under stress. I was reading an article today, last night, where they was talking about the American Navy and the American Air Force is under tremendous strain. The American Marines and the American Army is under tremendous strain with all of their deployments all over the world. But the thing that they're really under strain is the funding. They no longer are able to fund the military juggernaut, because nations are now challenging the American dollar. Nations are now doing bilateral trade agreements, bilateral currency swap things. They're all changing gold and silver, and they're all putting up what I would say counterweights to U.S. and Western-dominated organizations, which kept the dollar as the prime resource for the world. So she's in trouble, and she sees it. This leads us to the outbreak of war, because America, she's like a rabid dog foaming out the mouth. She knows that death is imminent, but she is attacking everyone and everything that she can to try to bite them, to infect them with the same type of judgment that is on her. I tell you all, it is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is very beautiful to be able to see and process these things spiritually as well as physically, because we don't all understand. So, as we go further, let's go to something. I won't read that chapter right now. I want to take you to another clip here, because I want you to see just how this debt situation has America. I want you to see just how she's fallen. And I want you to understand, listen, I'm talking to you. Blog Talk Radio is erasing one of my files. Three of my files, excuse me. The clip that I had about
Here in the United States, we see initial jobless claims. They are back to 44-year lows, and every time we've seen this, and this is the lowest it's ever been, we enter a recession, a depression. And if we look back, going back to 1970s, because that's the level we're at, we were in a huge recession at that time. When we go back to the 80s, when we go back to the 90s, when we go back to 2000, 2001, go back to 2008, it has always been the same exact pattern. And as we move forward, it's not going to get any better. What this is telling us is that they've been manipulating these numbers, bringing this down, trying to convince us that no one is, you know, applying for initial jobless claims. There's nothing wrong with the economy. The unemployment is at the lowest point ever. And if this is true, we would see retail sales booming like we've never seen before. And it just so happens out of the corporate media, and we see it all over, Bloomberg. We see it all over the corporate media. You see articles everywhere saying that U.S. retail sales surge at the fastest pace since 2012. And online sales, they are soaring. Now remember, these are government numbers. Remember, these are estimates. Remember how they figure this out. They take what they have, and if they don't like what they have, they change it. They don't count stores that are closing. They don't count any of that. They take it and they factor it out over the year to make it look really good. And we need to remember something very important about this, is that a third of the sales are coming from gasoline sales because they increased in price. That's where they're getting these numbers from. That's not all. I mean, we have manipulating numbers. Now, people are going to say, well, just a minute. We can see that sales are doing a lot better in retail. Really? Well, let's go back to 2016 and let's look at some of the headlines that they were reporting at the same time. And let me know if it sounds really familiar. Holiday retail sales increased 4% in 2016. That's coming from the National Retail Federation. Things look incredible for retail. Record setting the holiday for retail. Online sales surged to $91.7 billion. That's from Fortune. Target shattered a shopping record on Thanksgiving. And it's doing incredible. Retailers are saying the traffic coming in is absolutely fantastic. That one was from Business Insider. So, wait a minute. They had these headlines telling us how great retail sales were back in 2016 going into 2017. And we reported back then that this was a lie. These aren't even the real retail numbers. They haven't even come out yet. So think about this for a second. When we entered January, and actually during the holiday season, we talked about the stores that were closing down who declared bankruptcy during the holiday season while these headlines were coming out. And then right after the holiday season, Macy's said they had to close some stores. Then all of a sudden the retail apocalypse started to pick up. All of a sudden we heard a lot more stores going bankrupt. Remember, their debt comes due next year. Do you really think what the corporate media is putting out there right now is the truth? Do you really think retail sales are the best they've ever seen? I mean, think about what is happening here. First of all, these are government numbers. We know they're completely manipulated. These aren't the real numbers from the retailers. And remember, when the government receives the real numbers from the retailers, if they don't like what they're seeing, they change them. We've seen the same exact headlines. There's no difference between this year and... Wait, there is a difference. This year it's a lot worse. We've already had all these stores closed. We've had a lot of people laid off. Debt has risen to astronomical levels. People can't go out and spend. Why? Think about it. Wages are declining. So wages are declining, but people are spending more money. Wait a minute. The debt level for consumers has reached a point where we've never seen this before. Well, yes, the Great Recession. So people have brought their credit cards up to the max, but people are still spending. Wait, savings have been coming down, so where are they getting all this money to spend? Think about this for a second. Common sense tells you they're lying. And we prove this time and time again, each and every year. Because after the holiday season, guess what happens? Stores close. They tell you how bad it is. They show all the different bankruptcies. And all of a sudden, and if you go back in time, you can check the Wayback Machine, the corporate media starts changing their headlines. They do this quite often, where they tell you the holiday season is great, and then after the holiday season, they go back and they change the headline to fit a completely different narrative of the story. And we're going to see this once again. The whole thing is a lie. We see that the...
So, you get a deeper understanding of what's going on with America. I've taken pictures, so I'm going to be texting these pictures out to everyone about how the service are blocking you from getting to the Highlands 1555 blog and how they're cutting all the links to the articles, the old articles, and stuff like that. You can still read the stuff, but they cut links to them, and also about what was going on, and it's going on right now with Blog Talk Radio. I took the picture of the dashboard also so that you can see that what I'm telling you is absolutely the truth, okay? Now, this debt problem knows it, and she knows that she doesn't have time. As a matter of fact, when I finally got onto Hines 1555 blog, I want you to hear some. This is what's going on in America. They say almost a third of Americans are working beyond the age of 65. That doesn't sound like a prosperous society, does it? And to show you how desperate the people are getting, you can go to any of the cities now, and you can see what people are panhandling everywhere. And you've never seen some of them out there scamming, but you have people that are out there, and you've never seen them, and now they have taken over the streets and stuff panhandling. But also, the government is so fascist now, and we knew that it would become like that. It says a new city ordinance outlaws giving money to panhandlers. Violators will be fined in jail. You will, in certain cities, you will not only be fined, but you will be placed in jail for giving a handout to somebody who is in need. Do you see how America is going insane? Do you not see this? She's become a third world or fourth world nation because of the debt situation. She's projecting herself to be first world, but her debt situation has placed her in jeopardy. They even in San Francisco now, they have even deployed anti-homeless robots. You understand what I'm saying? You go to the Hines 1555 blog, read the article. They are deploying robots to keep homeless people from resting on the streets or resting under bridges or resting by trains and stuff. This is crazy. This is crazy. And they're fining you for trying to help them. And all while the debt continues to rack up and the great wealth divide continues to blow apart, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. This is all the ingredients for revolution. This is what I'm trying to get to you. This is what Elijah Muhammad kept saying that he was talking about, revolution. When the people start thinking about the freedom and the things that they used to have. Right? That's what he was talking about. This will cause revolution. You can hear it on all of the so-called white alternative media sites. They're talking about revolution and civil war 2.0 because they see everything that they held dear to them being stripped from them. But this is all a part of the divine plan, divine decree by Almighty God in person. And the homeless situation continues to balloon out of control. You understand? Continues to. I want you to listen to this.
Welcome to the Silver Report Uncut. Now, we have a very disturbing trend that's going on. It affects everybody, really. Because for the first time, and, you know, a lot of people, when they want to talk about the economy, talk about how great things are going. And I think that sometimes people just want to believe that. But the very real world problems that we're facing is, for example, America's homeless population has just risen this year. And this is the first time since the Great Recession. So what we're actually watching, it's being propelled by what some people would call a housing recovery, but in effect, it is a housing crisis. And this is where the rubber meets the road whenever it comes to the fact that wages have not grown, but yet these stock prices continue to grow. These housing prices continue to grow, and yet the average American worker is unable to meet ends meet. So we have now reached record levels, something we've not seen since the Great Recession, and we are at peak homelessness in the United States. It's not only afflicting the West Coast, but it's also in New York City. We've seen that it's risen 4.1%. It found that 553,742 people, they were homeless on a single night this year. That's a 0.7% increase since last year. So this is the recovery that has left the average American behind. Of course, the top 1%, those that are involved in the stock market, those that are involved in the stock market bubble, they're profiting. They're happy. These housing prices are increased. But guess what? They waited to blow the housing price bubble back up until they have extracted most of the ownership and titles to all these homes. The banks, they always own them. Most people, they paid down some interest, paid into their home, and what happened? The housing value sunk so bad, the mortgage rates went up, and people ended up without their homes. On top of that, the banks became the new owners. Now it's time to pump the bubble back up. And so what we have is a highly inflated housing market without people living in those homes, without people being able to afford those homes. This is a very serious issue, and this is where things begin to get gruesome. So we've had the stock market pushing up to brand new highs, and everyone's excited about that, right? But yet more Americans are becoming poor. More Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. More Americans, because of their fact that they're living paycheck to paycheck and cannot afford to pay their bills are ended up homeless now. So they can talk all they want about an improved economy. They can talk all they want about a recovery. They can boast about how great things are going. We have some serious pressure on the rental market, so much that people are not able to live anymore. Peter Lynn, he's the head of the Los Angeles Homelessness Agency. He said, this is the most dramatic spike in the nation, right in his region, where a record 55,000 people were counted, unquote. And so what they do is they go out every 2 years in all of these cities where homelessness is a major problem. They hand count people. So what they're saying is this number could be dramatically low. Ben Carson, he's now the secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. He said this isn't a federal problem. It's everybody's problem, and it truly is. So they hand count these people, and this has been going on since the 80s, ever since manufacturing began to flood out of the United States. And we lost high-paying jobs. What happens is the job market gets tighter. People go, and they're fighting over McDonald's jobs, whatever they want to go work at, or they're working two or three jobs. And really, people get trapped into this endless cycle, but the problem is this problem is growing, and it's becoming a new normal. The number could be as much as double the size, because how are they really sure that they counted everybody? They find everybody. Some people might be in places where they can't be seen whenever the count is going on. Don Parvensky, he's the president of the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. Now, they have a significant homeless population going on in Colorado right now. And what he said was, quote, I'm surprised that the numbers are not going up faster than what we're showing. And that's as a result of what they actually see out there in the field. We said there was an increase of 4.1% in New York City. We have Seattle, Portland, San Diego, Sacramento, Oakland. They have surges of different sizes. Most of the increases across the country is now being driven by people living in doorways, tents, RVs, and they're not even living in shelters. There's no room. There's not enough shelters to be able to support. Now, the way that they're attempting to spin this is to say that homelessness is showing signs of economic growth. And this is just classic doublespeak we have going on, where slavery is freedom, all of these things. And knowledge is dangerous. All of these things, the way that they word things and what's actually happening is that the poverty rate is going up at the same level that it was right before the recession. And that economic growth is what's causing homelessness. And that's not really the case. It's the fact that this is a bubble economy, that the recovery of the housing market is as a result of printed money. And whenever you have a facade for an economy, a facade for a housing market that does not have underlying support, and that would be actually people able to afford the rent, actually people able to buy these houses, actually people able to pay for these houses. That is true support. So whenever it's only supported by phony money, this is an effect that you have. Your ancestors become homeless on the continent your forebears conquered. For decades, median hourly wages, they've barely even risen. But on top of that, we've seen that housing prices are now at record highs, far above what they were before the last housing crisis. And if they want to blame it on supply, the real problem is the lack of available, I mean, there's demand, of course there's demand, but there's a lack of funding. Construction of new homes is lagging, and that's because the ability to be able to pay for them is also lagging. The state of California, they said that they need 180,000 new housing units every year in order to be able to handle the amount of population growth. And there's less than 80,000 units that are produced. Whenever we don't make enough, we literally cannot pay these astronomical rents. And what happens is more and more people end up homeless, the banks get bigger and bigger, and the problem is never solved, because whenever it comes time for somebody to pay attention to these crises, everybody wants to make you believe that everything's okay. They want to lull everybody to sleep. They don't want you waking up to the exact nature of the problems that are going on in this country, because if people begin to wake up, somebody's got to get blamed, right? We all know. We all know it's the banks. We all know it's a problem. We all know we live in a society that's controlled. Everything we do and say is monitored. So why?
Listen, he said something very, very important. He said something. I'm going to play this clip back. I caught something that he said. I have to play this six-minute clip back to, I think it's at the three-minute point, because I don't have it in short clips, and if I do it right now, maybe the thing will mess up, and I don't want to take that chance, but I want you to understand what he said, because I'm going to play this back, and I'm going to stop it right after he says this important thing, because this shows and this proves to you who he's talking to. Because a lot of you have this mistaken idea that these people like Alex Jones and all of this are talking to you. You understand? You truly believe that. And I also want to say this, Blog Talk Radio is knocking a lot of people off the air right now. So if you are knocked off the air, please call back in. If you are knocked off internet, get back on your server and go back to the URL, blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555, and listen to this again, okay? And if you're listening by phone and you get knocked off and you're back, 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. We are losing dozens of calls right now, and I already know what the deal is. But I'm going to play this clip again for you all, and I'm going to stop it when it gets to this point. And this will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that these white people are not talking to you. They're talking over you. They're talking to their constituency, their brothers, their sisters, and they're trying to prepare them for what they see coming. All right? Listen, I hear very well, and I want you to pay close attention to this, and I'm going to talk about it.
Welcome to the Silver Report Uncut. Now, we have a very disturbing thing that's going on. It affects everybody, really. Because for the first time, and you know, a lot of people, and they want to talk about the economy, talk about how great things are going. And I think that sometimes people just want to believe that. But the very real world problems that we're facing is, for example, America's homeless population has just risen this year. And this is the first time since the Great Recession. So what we're actually watching, it's being propelled by what some people would call a housing recovery, but in effect, it is a housing crisis. And this is where the rubber meets the road whenever it comes to the fact that wages have not grown, but yet these stock prices continue to grow. These housing prices continue to grow, and yet the average American worker is unable to meet ends meet. So we have now reached record levels, something we've not seen since the Great Recession, and we are at peak homelessness in the United States. It's not only afflicting the West Coast, but it's also in New York City. We've seen that it's risen 4.1%. It found that 553,742 people, they were homeless on a single night this year. That's a 0.7% increase since last year. So this is the recovery that has left the average American behind. Of course, the top 1%. Those that are involved in the stock market, those that are involved in the stock market bubble, they're profiting. They're happy. These housing prices are increased. But guess what? They waited to blow the housing price bubble back up until they have extracted most of the ownership and titles to all these homes. The banks, they always owned them. Most people, they paid down some interest, paid into their home, and what happened? The housing value sunk so bad, the mortgage rates went up, and people ended up without their homes. On top of that, the banks became the new owners. Now it's time to pump the bubble back up. And so what we have is a highly inflated housing market without people living in those homes, without people being able to afford those homes. This is a very serious issue, and this is where things begin to get gruesome. So we've had the stock market pushing up to brand new highs, and everyone's excited about that, right? But yet more Americans are becoming poor. More Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. More Americans, because of their fact that they're living paycheck to paycheck and cannot afford to pay their bills, are ended up homeless now. So they can talk all they want about an improved economy. They can talk all they want about a recovery. They can boast about how great things are going. But we have some serious pressure on the rental market, so much that people are not able to live anymore. Peter Lynn, he's the head of the Los Angeles Homelessness Agency. He said, this is the most dramatic spike in the nation, right in his region, where a record 55,000 people were counted. Unquote. And so what they do is they go out every 2 years in all of these cities where homelessness is a major problem. They hand count people. So what they're saying is this number could be dramatically low. Ben Carson, he's now the secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. He said this isn't a federal problem. It's everybody's problem, and it truly is. So they hand count these people, and this has been going on since the 80s, ever since manufacturing began to flood out of the United States. And we lost high-paying jobs. What happens is the job market gets tighter. People go and they're fighting over McDonald's jobs, whatever they want to go work at, or they're working two or three jobs. And really, people get trapped into this endless cycle. But the problem is, this problem is growing, and it's becoming a new normal. The number could be as much as double the size, because how are they reassured that they counted everybody? They find everybody. Some people might be in places where they can't be seen whenever the count is going on. Don Parvensky, he's the president of the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless. Now, they have a significant homeless population going on in Colorado right now. And what he said was, quote, I'm surprised that the numbers are not going up faster than what we're showing. And that's as a result of what they actually see out there in the field. We said there was an increase of 4.1% in New York City. We have Seattle, Portland, San Diego, Sacramento, Oakland, they have surges of different sizes. Most of the increases across the country is now being driven by people living in doorways, tents, RVs, and they're not even living in shelters. There's no room, there's not enough shelters to be able to support. Now, the way that they're attempting to spin this is to say that homelessness is showing signs of economic growth. And this is just classic doublespeak we have going on, where slavery is freedom, all of these things. And knowledge is dangerous. All of these things, the way that they word things and what's actually happening is that the poverty rate is going up at the same level that it was right before the recession. And that economic growth is what's causing homelessness. And that's not really the case. It's a fact that this is a bubble economy, that the recovery of the housing market is as a result of printed money. And whenever you have a facade for an economy, a facade for a housing market that does not have underlying support, and that would be actually people able to afford the rent, actually people able to buy these houses, actually people able to pay for these houses, that is true support. So whenever it's only supported by phony money, this is the effect that you have. Your ancestors become homeless on the continent your forebears conquered. For decades...
Bam! There you have it. Bam! Did you hear what he said? Your ancestors become homeless in the continent that your forefathers conquered. He's not talking to you. He's talking to his people. Do you understand? He is making a plea to his own kind. You, whenever you have this, whenever you have that, then you become homeless in the continent that your forefathers, your ancestors conquered. You understand? So he admits that they came in, shed blood for this stuff. Now listen to me good. I'm going to say this because I'm going to get on this homeless thing in just a second because this has everything to do with what the subject is today. But white people are the only people on the planet that believe that they can do any and everything to any and everyone without the repercussions that are meted out to everyone else. If they go and slaughter people overseas or slaughter people within the border, they will justify it under the law that they made. They will justify it, right? If they go abroad, invade other people's land. Did you hear what the general said when the U.S. Was confronted by Russian warplanes? They said, you must turn around, you're in our airspace. Now, they're over Syria. This shows you the arrogance. They are claiming the airspace and the land in Syria. And any breach of what they demand could get you shot out the air. This is they're justified. Well, we shot the Syrian regime's army. That's how they put it. The Syrian regime, that's legitimize the government and the army of the Syrian Arab Republic. We shot them, and we were justified because they were encroaching upon our gray zone. That's Syrian territory. You are the one that are illegal. You understand? The mind of these people, they are the only ones that believe that they are the exception to the rule. They'll tell you, and they'll go to church all day, and they'll point out everybody else's faults and talk about the judgment that is impending upon everybody else. But when you point out their slaughters, their mass murders, their injustice, oh, you just unhappy. Oh, you just an uppity nigga. Oh, you just don't understand. Oh, you just, if you don't like America, you leave. Do this and do anything to get the blood that they have shed off of themselves. You understand? They believe that they are the exception to God's rule. But black man and black woman, we know that God will pay them back for everything that they've done. Well, I didn't do this. For the sins of thy fathers, the book says, I will visit it upon the children. Is that not right? You are a direct beneficiary of the slaughters of your ancestors, white man. So, because you deprived the black man of a home, you're being deprived of one. You understand? A few months ago, a friend of mine and I, we went to New Orleans. And we were there for about, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We were there for 5 days, I believe, 4 or 5 days. And as we were riding around the city of New Orleans, it really blew my mind, the state of homelessness there. And when I came back, I was telling my my wife and I was telling my mother that practically everywhere you went downtown, there were tent cities everywhere, especially under the interstates, you know, because they have overpasses everywhere in New Orleans. So up under the overpasses, downtown, by the centers, the big auditorium, homelessness everywhere. Everywhere. It's so bad that I was telling them, I took pictures, that the police station, right where you walk into the police station door, people are down in front of the door. The police had to ask somebody to move over from in front of the police station so that they can walk into the police station. That's how bad it is. I'm not lying to you. I took pictures of this. And I told, we were in my Ford Flex, and I had my friend driving it so that I could take pictures, my friend Eric. And so he pulled over a little bit. I said, stop right here. And I'm taking the pictures. It was so much homelessness, so much, that the people, for the police cruisers to pull out from the back gate, the people had to be alerted so that they can move because they had tents and blankets everywhere out there. That's how bad the situation. And while this is going on, see, this is a debt cycle. These people are so greedy for materialistic stuff, they would rather you sleep on streets. They had empty 20 and 30 story and 40 story buildings down there that they could put the people in. But instead, while the buildings were becoming dilapidated, they would rather for the people to sleep on the streets. You understand? This is how this society is. This is how these people are. This is how their government and financial system work. We're going on a quick trip down the rabbit hole of global debt and how judgment is due to these people. You understand? I'm telling you. Let me go to the phone lines real quick because this touches my heart. I'm telling you. All these people suffering needlessly because of greed and arrogance. But they'll be the ones to suffer. As they meted out this, they shall receive this. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. This is the 314. You're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. We say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Brother Mikhail?
Fine, brother. All praise to Allah. I just wanted to touch on what you spoke on a few minutes ago. I think it was about Chris Green, the statement that he made about, you know, becoming eventually homeless in the land that your ancestors conquered.
Yeah.
It's typical of that psychopathic racial personality, which Dr. Bobby E. Wright spoke of, you know, where these people have the nerve to have a history of lying, cheating, stealing, killing, colonizing, and enslaving, then want to hypocritically turn around and speak about morals and values and law and order and even put it in the name of Jesus. That's how crazy it is, you know? And we sit up here looking at this, and now they're criminalizing the homeless and penalizing people for trying to help the homeless. It's like you sit up here complaining about them because you've seen them put barriers, you know, razor wire and all kind of inhumane barriers on the ground to keep people from sleeping. They're closing shelters all over the place. New York City is blowing up in homelessness, and other places are blowing up in homelessness. You see it everywhere. Yet now they're telling you not to feed them or not to give them money. It's like, man, are you crazy? And then they destroy food that they could give to them. All you have to do to solve a lot of the problems, to keep crime down, which they say they want to prevent, is to allow these companies to be able to give away food that they end up throwing away anyway, like these grocery stores and these restaurants, and just have a liability clause where they are allowed to give away the food, and if anybody takes, they take it at their own risk. And that way they can give food to people who need it, and they don't have to run the risk of getting sued. But this country's so backwards and greedy for money, and then they want to penalize people and criminalize people for being humane. How can you criminalize somebody for being a human being? It is so ridiculous. And you wonder why this country is falling? Moral decay, social decay, everything. You're doing it to yourselves. And like you said, the sins of the fathers carry on to the children. You know why? Because the man of sin won't stop sinning. That's why. You keep on doing it. You ain't stopped doing it. And the messenger said that. As the time of the judgment nears, they deny the judgment even more and become even worse. That's all I got to say, brother. Salam
alaikum. Well, alaikum salam. And that was enough said right there. The brother's absolutely right. We'll go to Brother Rashid in just a second. I want to double down on Brother McCall and what he was talking about. Well, these people are so greedy for money that they take ships, and a lot of you don't know this, but some of you do know, they'll take ships, they'll load these ships with food. This is the truth. They'll load these ships with oil. They'll load these ships with gas. They'll send them out in the sea, and they'll sink them to keep the gas prices up, to keep the oil prices up, to keep food prices up. This is a fact. This is the mind of sociopaths. They are psychotically thinking about the possession of wealth over all things. Dr. Fardan, a white person who's a scholar in her field, she studies human behavior, and she's in her book, Message to the White Man, and she's a white scholar. She talks about the greed, the lust, and the insatiable. She uses the word insatiable, drive and lust for material things, and how they would stop at nothing to acquire what they see as wealth and prosperity, even at the shedding of blood of many peoples. Not many, one, two, three. I'm talking about peoples, countries, nations, to possess the wealth of others, and will subjugate and subdue all who stand in their way. And she says that maybe this is the lack of melanin in their skin. Well, that has part to do with it. But it's the nature in which they were created. Because their nature is diametrically opposed to the aboriginal order of things. We can do a simple and a quick test here. What do they tell you in grade school? You have all of these colors, right? And now, none of these colors by themselves can produce black. But the one color, black, can produce all colors in the rainbow, all colors in the crayon box, right? To show you, if you don't believe me, take oil, a can of oil, spill a little bit out on your sidewalk or somewhere, or on your grass, and put a little water in it, and you'll see all of the colors come out of the black oil. But you can't do that with any color. I'm getting to a point here. So, if black is the original, and it is, right? And in grade school, they teach you the opposite of things. They teach you the meaning of this. And if black is the origin of all things, This is easy to comprehend. And if black is the origin and the origination of all things, then surely God produced himself out of that which is the original. That's why he is called the originator. Right? And if he is that which by nature he is, which is that of the original order, which is black, and God is perfect, and God is right and true, then what is the opposite of that black? Huh? White. This is simple. And if that origin, that original matter, or that original God is right, just, and true, and you produce something that is totally opposite of the black, then what is the origin or nature of that? You can't get around science. You can't get around math. This lies at the root core of everything that we've talked about. You understand? And this is why you see them pillaging the earth. Do you notice, and Brother Rashid, I'm going to bring you in just a second. Listen, you have to be a sociopath, right, to be a infant, I would say, on earth, because you haven't been here for 6,000 years, and not be an original of the earth, and be allowed to live on the earth, and try to conquer the earth, and in your conquering of the earth, you put it in your mind that if I can't rule, if I can't dominate at all costs, then I'm going to kill everybody. You cannot say that that is not the mind of the Caucasian. They are having a hissy fit that a non-white nation has nuclear weapons, while you have all of these other nations that are white that have nuclear weapons or a nuclear breakout capability. As long as I have the shotgun, it's all right. But how dare you get some rocks in a slingshot to defend yourself against my vile and disgusting, arrogant policies to dominate you? This is what they're saying. With an arsenal of 10,000 nuclear bombs, you're talking about North Korea as a threat with 34. With 14 aircraft carrier groups that are positioned all around the world. All right? You get mad because Iran builds them a destroyer. Do you understand the sociopathic, what I'm trying to show you, brothers and sisters, that this is their thinking? And if you don't believe that their thinking is to acquire wealth and power and live in luxury at all costs, and if they can't do it, they're prepared to destroy the world. Just look at their policy. They tell you who they are by the policy that they present. They have something called mutually assured destruction. They are calling it the mad doctrine, which it is. They're insane. You've got to be insane to have a doctrine that if I can't rule, I'm killing everybody else, even if I am not the owner of this house that I'm living in. You understand? Sociopathic thinking. But let's go to the phone lines. Let me go back to 310, our good brother Rashid Muhammad. I mean, Rashid Nasser. Brother, assalamu alaikum.
Walaik Islam. And how you doing today, brother?
Brother, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm alive, Black. Now, everything else after that is all right. Black man, you were talking about they used to have about how they waste and if get rid of it. They used to have a shoe store out here called Kenny's where they were caught on television taking brand new shoes and splitting them down the middle and throwing them in the trash. He goes and finds milk that he can't get you. He pulls it down the drain. This is the way the white man thinks. Like you said, he's a sociopath. And the so-called American Negro is so deceived by these people. I was talking with my children about this last night, about how the white man, you know, he needs to be to judge him out of his own book. They the biggest number one Jesus people, right? Now, would Jesus go to Iraq and bomb up all those people? Would Jesus go to Syria and drop a bomb on those people? You know, claiming Jesus this and claiming that and we this, that, and that. And everything of the scriptures, they do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But yet and still, they the number one Jesus people, right? If Elijah Muhammad has not reached you in this day and time, you are truly blind. I mean, nobody else on the like the message when he was talking with Nasser of Egypt. Nasser said, none of your people can disprove what you're teaching. He said, none, talking about the Muslims of the East. He said, none of us can disprove. The world can't disprove what Elijah Muhammad teaches. The white man is adeptions of a devil. Is he a liar, thief, a murderer? He's tricky. He's a rape. All of these things, and look at the white man as a whole of what he did to the people around the planet. There's no disputing who he is. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. The brother hit these points right on the head. And this is what I'm trying to get you to see. See, brothers and sisters, if you're not spiritually awakened today, you can't process these things. And so we're trying to take the blinds and the veil from over your eyes and over your heart so that you can understand what stands before you. And if this man is so peaceful, then why does he have bases in almost all the countries in the world, 136, 140 countries in the world, huh? Why is he galloping around the world trying to police other people and trying to impose his form of governance on everybody? Democracy. His government must be a democracy. It cannot be anything but a democracy. Hell, you don't even have a democracy, so how the hell are you going to demand other people to have one? You understand? This is his thinking. And so even, and think about this, and he's always desiring more war. He's always talking about, if I had just another $100 billion on the war budget, we can do this and this. But when you get that $100 billion, you need $200 more billion. And then you need $300 more billion. And you need even though you claim to be a decade ahead of your closest rival, yet you're spending more than all of the world combined on war and weapons and weapon development. yet you don't, you still don't feel safe. The hell is that? That's insanity. You understand? But all of this is weighing down the back of the American empire because it is causing a, I would say, the thunderclap of collapse to reverberate within America because of the debt crisis. Right? Let's go. I think Messenger Muhammad was talking about this. So, let's go. Yeah, yeah. Our Savior has arrived. Let's go to Our Savior has arrived. It's on my mind. I got to go over what chapter is. Chapter 41, I believe. Chapter 41. Let's go. Yeah, page 206, chapter 41. Brothers, I told you, when Allah gives it to me in my head, I go straight to it. So, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. Well, we'll go 205 and then read over to 206, and I want you to hear it the way it is. All right? Allah is well able to take the kingdom from whom he pleases and give it to whom he pleases. This we all know. America should, as it is written, give up the slave and set him on the road to doing something for himself in the way of financing him to do this. See, America has this. This is the obligation of America. God put this obligation on her because she is the beneficiary of your slave labor. So it's on her to give us a financial start. You understand? Some of you don't process that, but we'll get on another show. But let's go further. Muhammad says on page 206, he says, America, in spending billions of dollars in a futile attempt to stop the stormy war clouds that are hovering over her concessions, but she is not getting at the root cause of it. So she continues, with this Trump and them just got the $700 billion war budget. Stephen Lettman, the one who we had on our show, he discussed this a few days ago and talked about how the war budget is not $700 billion. It's well over $1 trillion. And Ron Paul said it could be twice that or more. All right? So, he said, listen to what Muhammad says. America, in spending billions of dollars in a futile attempt to stop the stormy war clouds that are hovering over her concessions, but she is not getting at the root cause of it. The reason why the cloud is rising with destruction is because of her so-called Negro slaves, whom she refuses to let go. So what you see going on in Asia, what you see going on in Central Asia, what you see going on in the what they call the Middle East and North African region, what you see taking place in South and Central America, and you see the rattling of revolution and the rising up against American empire, all of this has to do with the freedom of the black nation. You understand? So, Muhammad says, she divides them one against the other for her own sake. It has not proven worthwhile. It has proven to be against her own peace because the God of the so-called Negro is on the scene and he is directing his own cause as it is written. So, he says, again, the Bible teaches us in Isaiah, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is falling in the street. This is true of America, and yet she looks for peace. You know, she always talks about peace, maintaining the peace, peace and stability of the global order, peace this, and always it's the war maker and the peace breaker. This is America. So Muhammad says, how can she find peace? But she is still breaking the peace of the world and refusing to let her prisoners, the so-called Negroes, go. So, her war budget, she thinks that that would defend her, but she doesn't realize, as Mama said, that she's not getting to the root of it. And this, while she continues to build up, she continues to build up debt also, which is threatening the empire, because no empire can continue to expand while the debt continues to expand. No empire can continue to survive when the people are divided and the government is looked upon as their enemy, and the government looks upon the people as the enemy or the threat. No nation, no republic, no empire has survived or can survive under such strenuous conditions, a debt burden that is threatening to take down the entire global order based upon Yaqub's rule. We're living in a new day.